There you go.
Okay. Everybody ready? All right. Excellent. Good afternoon. My name is Dana Denny, Chair of the Madison Personnel Board, and I would like to call the meeting to order. First things first, let's take a roll call.
Ann Beneshek Clark here.
Angela Nash here.
Elga Vrani.
Looks like that's our personnel board. And I guess we can read the introduction.
All right, thank you. This is a virtual meeting. In meetings like this, it's particularly important. We follow Robert's Rules of Order. Therefore, please do not speak unless you have raised your hand and been recognized by the chair. The chair will ask for a motion on each item and a second for those agenda items. Unless it is noted for discussion only, any member wishing to join the debate or move an amendment will also have to raise their hand and be recognized. And similarly, if another point of order request for information is needed, please use your raise hand feature. Lastly, if you lose connection at any time, please reconnect by clicking the link in your email invite. For the committee members, if you would please keep your videos active for the duration of the meeting, or use your raise hand feature if you wish to speak, ask questions, or request a roll call vote. Please activate, city staff, please activate your video when you are speaking and use your raise hand feature if you are responding to a question asked. And for any members of the public, your name entered in the Zoom must match the name entered in your registration, and you must remain muted until called upon by the chair, and please do not use your video. That is all for introductory comments. The floor is yours, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. With that, why don't I first, do I first have a motion to approve our minutes from the January 25th, 26th meeting?
So moved.
Is there a second?
I second.
Thank you, Angela. Is there any discussion on the motion? If there's no objection, we will record a unanimous vote in favor of the motion. If you do object, use the Zoom raise hand function now and we will call the roll. Okay, I do not indicate that there's an objection. I'm going to declare that the motion approves unanimously. And yes, so that motion passes. Is there any public comment?
Yes, we do have one registrant today, Rick Marks.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Rick. Are there any disclosures or recusals on behalf of the board members today? Okay. And you're going to indicate to me when the public comment for which item is going to take place, correct?
One okay. Second.
Okay. Unless he wants to speak now, I suppose.
He has indicated on an item three, so the compensation study. But Rick, it's up to you. Would you like to speak now or on item three?
I'd be happy to speak now. It's really more of a general comment. Item three, certainly on the committee, along with a lot of other folks, to look at the personnel rules, or I'm sorry, not the personnel rules, look at the job study. One comment about that before it's actually being presented, we're certainly looking forward to the results of the job study. And I know right now the Human Resources Department is looking over raw data that is being sent and making sure that if there are some obvious anomalies that can be addressed and adjusted before we take a look at those. My comment would be, and will be to the committee itself, that we'd certainly like to see the results of those anomalies so that we can understand how they were adjusted after you get the chance to do it. But the other comments that I was going to make is about some issues that have come up that allow us to have the ability to change a posting to a trainee position, and some things that have come up, even though that's a very positive internal promotional idea that we certainly are in favor of in general, that some of the ways that they have been able to be used, we're showing some concern about, as far as especially after a posting has failed and there might not be an opportunity it sort of where it's planned out to have it as a trainee position. What we're concerned about is folks self-selecting out of those postings because they feel they're less than entirely qualified. And then subsequently, the Human Resources Department wouldn't be aware after a failed selection process and offer someone that felt fully qualified. The concern would be as much, you know, through an equity lens to make sure that those people who tend to self-select out more, those marginalized people who have been beaten up by society and told they're not as valuable as others, probably are the ones that are the least or most likely to not be made available this trainee position. And we certainly don't want to see that. And another issue would be that the supervisor, and again, not saying that this is happening, but it we don't want to create rules that might encourage a supervisor to fail a person in a process that may be marginally close to the ability to say that they had the skills and abilities to be interviewed and meet the basic qualifications, yet they are not going to hire them for that position and offer them a downgraded position as a trainee to the new position for a period of time, which really in some ways could be abused to be able to save salary. So again, trying to find ways to make sure that we're identifying any of those tweaks that need to be made to perfectly reasonable rules that we may see as they come up. And I know that I've spoken to the EMAN and the Human Resources Department, and we will be following up with a meeting, having more discussion about that. Thank you for the time. Have a good day. Stay warm.
Okay, I know Erin has her hand raised. Erin?
Just a couple of things. First, related to the compensation study, I'll get to this in just a second, but we're not actually fixing or resolving what would be anomalies. Those anomalies, like outliers, will still be in the data. When it goes to the steering team, the thing that's being adjusted right now is there are places where Baker Tilly does not have the precise classification. In particular, it looks like it's related sometimes to abbreviations that are used that they're taking to mean one thing and we're taking to be another. So it's a misclassification. So we're getting them to rectify all of the classification titles. And then the other one is that that for some reason, some of their wage rates are off. They're not in alignment with what our actual wage rates are. So we're correcting those errors. So we're not actually making any adjustments. We're just correcting errors in their data set related to that. So I just wanted to ease Rick's mind about sort of what that process is. That process isn't to sort of resolve any issues with our compensation plan. It's just to fix the data that is in part in error. And then just related to the concerns about the trainee, I share Rick's concern about the first one. We certainly absolutely do see a disparity between sort of who applies for jobs without all of the qualifications. I think one of the ways, so we are going to continue to watch for that carefully. There are a couple of ways that we can deal with it. Number one is encouraging more departments to more often list things as trainee eligible so that people are getting that idea ahead of time that if I don't have all of the qualifications for this, I might be eligible anyway and should apply. The other thing is that sometimes what it's the result of is sort of errantly created minimum qualifications. And when I say errantly, I don't mean like, what I mean is that maybe the qualifications are listed in a way that we really end up screening out 90% of people. And so our intention wasn't really to screen out so many people. It was to, you know, be a little on the more open or lenient side of that screening. So another thing that we can do to adjust that is, number one, we can repost for like 3 days. If we're looking at a job and we see there are only two people who are qualified on this list, our analyst can reach out to the agency and say, hey, let's post this as trainee eligible so that we get more people who are interested, and so that we're also sort of relaxing some of those qualifications where we need to. So in that step, there are a couple of things that we can do there. I will just note that I don't share the concern that he shared at the end about supervisors listing people as trainees, rejecting people, and then accepting them as trainees, even though they meet the qualifications. Once we make that selection, we determine whether or not they meet, at what level they meet the qualifications. So if I were to say, I'm going to hire an HR analyst trainee or an HR analyst, and you know, I look at all the applicants and I wanted to say, for some reason, I want to hire them on the cheap and get someone who's a trainee. I couldn't select someone who's qualified at the HR analyst one level and pay them at the trainee level, because once I make that selection, our analysts can say, do they or don't they meet them at the HRA one level, HRA 2 level, or trainee level. So we make that determination. So supervisors can't really rig it that way. But that first concern that Rick had, you know, I absolutely agree with, and we have to make sure that we're doing our part to watch out for those kinds of impacts and to try to mediate them on the front end.
And that was going to be the question that I was going to ask, Erin, is that when you are meeting with the supervisor to determine what applicant is needed for the position, HR is going to obviously meet and determine, for your example, what the lowest level that would be, you know, that would be acceptable, correct? So an HR 1 or an HR 2, and then you would list whatever those requirements are. So the screening would actually happen in that point, but it would not be where you would get a 2. And then obviously, you know, then the supervisor would say, oh, I have a trainee here. Can I hire Dana? She's an HRA 1. And you would say, well, no, we can't do it now because you already said a 2 was required, as opposed to, you know, when you'd been doing all the planning, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
Perfect. Okay. Thanks very much, Mr. Marks, for your comments. Are there any other comments that anyone else wanted to make?
I think Rick has his hand raised again, so he must have an additional response.
Thanks very much. I couldn't see that. Mr. Marks, would you like to continue with some additional questions?
Thank you. I didn't know if it was appropriate to follow up with another question. With Erin talking about that, one of the things that it can also happen has just recently, in a rare case, both a failed recruitment as well as a current other list of a particular position that would have been below the failed recruitment list, and that list being used to be able to pick a trainee candidate, because those are two sort of exceptions being layered on top of each other, there's a concern there about somehow that producing the same issue where there's a potentially someone on another list that wouldn't necessarily have it, because they, a lot of times folks like this will apply for all those jobs, right? So this person could be on both lists. A supervisor could be aware that they're on both lists. I'm not even sure that that would impact this, but it's those kinds of unusual circumstances that I do understand are rare that I'm at least concerned about making sure that we look through a good lens at making sure that the goals that we were trying to achieve are the things that we're doing with them. Thank you.
Okay, any additional comments or questions? All right, with that, let's move on to new business, and we will consider, what happened to my, there we go. Let's consider new business. And the first item, this is number 2, which is item 86967, a recreation of the hourly classification of a consultant. And is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Thank you. And is there a second?
I second.
Thank you very much. HR, you may present.
Good afternoon. We have this one item of new business today for the hourly classification of consultant, which was created in 2018 as we were creating the classification of consultant in 2018. We were using it as an hourly classification for professional level positions. So that we could potentially bring on folks with higher professional level skill set at a comparable rate of pay to the permanent positions. We did not include at the time in 2018 that those positions would be part of the hourly pay scale that would get COLA increases. And so since we have not made any adjustments to that hourly wage since 2018, we have now gotten out of step with our current pay structure. And so the recommendation is to move the pay range from $25 an hour, from $25 to $55 an hour, to $30 to $70 an hour. And that will then capture, again, those higher level hourly rates for potentially a returning retiree to come back and help with training purposes, and so that they could be set at a rate that is comparable to where they left or what the comparable position would be in our permanent ranks. So the recommendation then would be to adjust the range for the comp group 1700 consultant hourly classification to $30 to $70 an hour, which would be negotiated based on the work being performed for that specific position.
Right.
Questions?
Yes, I was just going to ask, are there any questions? I have one. So is there a time limit for how long an individual may perform in the consultant role for the city?
So the consultant role is, there are no hours caps to the comp group 17 hourly position. So they could potentially work full-time hours in a given for a longer duration than our traditional hourly employees. The intention should be that it is project-based or time-bound specific work. Our goal is not for them to be full-time hourly employees.
Right.
They may come back year after year, potentially, to help with like year-end closeout or where there might be surges in the workload. But ideally, they are not working full-time.
Right. So when they are negotiating what their rate is, it's not just the customary hourly rate for what they're getting, or Do you determine that, or do they determine that, or do they both decide
so
what that rate's going to be?
An agency will normally present to HR, we have a need for this work. Everything is rooted in our position descriptions.
Okay.
Again, if it's a retiree, it's like we're okay. having them Sarah. Do certain parts of this job. We'll then determine, is this, what that rate was, or what rate did they leave at, and negotiate that with the hiring manager to say, okay, we'll set it. Lately, it's all been 55 because we have been stuck at that max everyone else has kind of exceeded.
Okay. And the reason why I ask is for different types of positions. So if you have a medical consultant versus an IT consultant versus are these determined by occupation level, versus an HR consultant where obviously the rates are going to be higher or lower. How do you accommodate these in this range? Obviously if you're a medical consultant, they'd be more.
We're looking at whatever that comparable permanent position would be and kind of where they fall in that.
Makes sense.
Area.
Thanks for explaining. Thank you. That makes sense. Are there any additional questions other than mine?
Yes.
Oh, Angela. Angela has a question. Go ahead.
Yeah, I do have a question. So I just want to be clear. This is a classification of position or a classification for people who will hold this position, not true consultants. So these folks will get a W-4 or W-2 and not a 1099. These are employees with the classification of consultant.
Correct. Yes. That was intentional because they are performing work as employees and not as consultants. And so in 2018, when we created the classification, it was recognizing we should not be hiring these people as 1099 consultants. We should be hiring them as employees because they are performing work as an employee.
Okay. All right, that was all I had.
Okay, thank you. Any additional questions? Okay. The motion was to approve. If there is no objection, we will record a unanimous vote in favor of the motion. If you do object, use the Zoom raise hand function now, and we will call the roll. Okay, not hearing of any objection, the motion passes. That's our last item for new business on the agenda. The other additions that we have are just discussion items, I believe. So I guess those can be presented.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Julie.
I have an update on the compensation study. I think some of you may have been at the last steering team meeting, but they did, Baker Tilly did present to us their initial market data for the 560 common classifications that they found at the peer organizations. We did notice that, as Aaron mentioned earlier, some of the salaries they had listed for the city of Madison were incorrect. And I did go through all of those and send over corrected salaries. So they do have that information. They are still pulling out information for hourly classifications that I'll have to take a look at. But in the end, we haven't received back the updated spreadsheet yet, so we are waiting on that. Initially, what the market data did show was that the entry salaries, in general, again, not breaking out specific classifications, the city salaries were above market at the entry level, were right around market at the midpoint level, and were a little low when you looked at the maximum level. So of course, once we do have that information back, We will be talking with the steering team committee and discussing an implementation plan, what makes the most sense in moving forward, and seeing really, you know, which classifications are the furthest off and which ones are more in line with markets. So that is kind of where we're at. And then hopefully at our next meeting, we'll have a little bit more information to share.
Great. Any questions for Julie regarding the compensation study? Okay. Thank you very much, Julie, for all your help on that. And thanks for your presentation today. Okay, moving on to our last item, which is the Personnel Board report on the position studies. So that's item 4. 83647.
Yep, this will be our standing item, monthly report out, or as often as we meet, report out of any administrative authorization and adjustments that we've made. We had one that came through for approval. It was for the parks equipment mechanic, and based on their current budget, not all of the positions were budgeted at that higher level of 2. And so they were making that adjustment. So each of their equipment mechanics can all, because of their work across the city, they operate pretty independently, and the expectation is that all of them should get to that level, and that they would staff at that level moving forward. Any questions? Bill is here. He could answer. We felt it was pretty straightforward.
Yeah. I don't have any questions. Anyone on behalf of the board have any questions for Bill? Or Amy? Anyone on the HR side? Okay, perfect. That pretty much, we have a pretty light agenda for February. That pretty much wraps it up. With that, it seems like our agenda is complete for February. And I guess this calls for a motion to adjourn. Do I have such a motion?
So moved.
Thank you very much. Any opposed? Or no, how about a second first before we get out of here?
I second.
Thank you, Angela. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, thank you very much. Motion carries. We're done with February. And I guess.